No debate, no bias, just the news. Brass Tacks with Zucker Jacob.
Welcome to this Brass Tacks podcast, weeknights at 9:25 p.m. on CNN News 18. I'm Zucker Jacob, and with me, Anusuya Kumar, the producer of the show.
Welcome. Hi, this is the one show where we're putting news back in primetime. And one of the stories that we're looking at today is an absolutely shocking and yet all too familiar one from near Mumbai. A young woman, a doctor, she died after the bike that she was riding on slipped on a pothole. She fell and she was run over by a truck. Zucker, I don't even know when we can stop reporting on these stories.
I wish we could stop reporting, because clearly, I mean, this is bizarre. Why should people have to die in the 21st century because of a pothole on a road? And what is even more sort of bizarre about this story is that the BMC and the various municipal authorities, the state government, say that they have spent crores, in fact, hundreds of crores. The BMC's estimate for this year is that it's already spent over 100 crores in just fixing the potholes. The BMC claims out of the 25,000 complaints that have come for potholes, they've filled up more than 23,000. That's more than 90%. If 90% of the potholes in Bombay have been filled, which, first of all, I don't think is correct, because clearly evidence on the ground suggests something otherwise. But also, if it has been indeed filled, then why are these deaths happening? This time it happens to be this young doctor, Neha Sheikh. Last month it was somebody else. And this is happening not just in the municipality-managed roads. It's happening in national highways. It's happening in state highways. This particular instance, I believe it was a state government-managed road. I think it's a shame. I think it's an utter shame that civic negligence, whether it's a pothole or any other civic negligence, is causing these freak deaths to our citizens.
No, it's crazy, right? Because it's exactly right. Not just potholes, it's crumbling bridges, it's buildings setting on fire. It's just insane. It's every year, it's the same story that's coming out of Mumbai. And you were mentioning some statistics there. Believe it or not, the BMC, that's the civic body that runs Mumbai, they spent 17,000 rupees to fill one pothole. Just one pothole. And yet, there are about, what, 8 deaths. Neha Sheikh's death is the 8th death that has taken place this year alone.
Yeah. And think about it. I mean, she's going to be a doctor. She's 23 years old. Her marriage was fixed. It was going to happen in the next month. She was coming back after having shopped for her wedding. Her brother was there. I think he managed to survive.
He managed to
survive. But he was riding the bike and she was riding pillion. And unfortunately for her, she fell. Both of them fell. But unfortunately for her, there was a truck that was coming behind her and ran over the young girl. Imagine that young man, that young boy. How is he going to live the rest of his life thinking about what happened, and his sister is no more?
And you know, the question that everybody's asking is, the BMC took about, what, 8 hours to cut down some 2,000 odd trees?
Exactly.
8 hours after the Supreme Court order, they cut down about 2,000 odd trees. Year after year, monsoon after monsoon, we hear about the same pothole story, yet nothing is done.
And it's an eminently fixable problem. I'm convinced that the reason why you have this shoddy construction, and it's not rocket science, it's because contractors, cut corners because they have to pay off BMC officials, they have to pay off other civic officials, so they take a cut, and therefore it's shoddy material. That's why it doesn't survive beyond one monsoon season. And you construct with shoddy material, eventually it's gonna give way, and that's what has happened. I mean, each of these potholes or any civic messes that we're talking about are because of bad quality construction. And we know that bad quality construction happens because contractors are hand in glove with these officials. And what's worse is none of these guys ever get punished. I mean, a contractor can be blacklisted, but have you ever heard of a BMC official losing his job because of a pothole death?
No, and this is, we will continue to raise this apathy tonight at 9:25 on Brass Tacks, because clearly it's not going away anywhere.
It's not.
And the other story, which also happens to be from Mumbai and is an extremely important one, is the account holders of PMC Bank. They protested for the second straight day today. Yesterday, they protested in front of a court. Today, they actually barged into the BJP office right before the finance minister, Nirmala Sitharaman, was supposed to have a press conference. And in fact, they protested so much that she was forced to address it when she started her press conference. Let's listen to what the finance minister said.
I did call them inside and sat with them, heard them about their problems. And cooperative banks normally, as are many banks, all banks are regulated by the Reserve Bank of India. Does that mean that the government of India is not doing a thing about it? Not at all. I've already been talking with the Governor of Reserve Bank, and I shall request him to expedite the clearing off or giving permission for withdrawal of their monies which are deposited.
Zaka, why is this such an important story for us?
I think it's an important story because this could happen to any of us. PMC is a large bank. Yes, it's a cooperative bank. It's probably not as big as an SBI in the public sector space, or let's say an HDFC or an ICICI in the private sector space. But this can potentially happen to any bank. We're talking about lakhs of small depositors, their life savings. I believe a large number of them happen to be senior citizens. Their life savings have all, you know, vanished. If not vanished, certainly they can't access it without any kind of unfettered access. The RBI says you can, first it was $1,000, then it became $10,000, and now they can withdraw up to 25,000 rupees over a period of 6 months. I mean, who are we kidding? 25,000 rupees over 6 months.
That's
is
crazy, right?
Yeah, it's a pittance. I mean, you can't run families with 25,000 rupees for a month, forget about six. And what's worse is, where is the justice here? I mean, these are people, hardworking people, tax-paying people, who are just asking access to their money. It's not like the bank is doing them a favor. It's their hard-earned money. And now there are restrictions because the bank's directors, got into this deal with HDIL. I believe their loan book was about 6,000 odd crores, 4,000 of which was loaned out to this one company, HDIL. I mean, how do you explain that? What were the regulators doing? What were the independent directors on the board doing? Where are the checks and balances? Clearly, you know, the checks and balances failed at every level. And that's why, at the end of the day, it's the depositors. It's the middle class people who deposited money in this bank who are left holding the can. Nobody else is paying for this. That's why the story is important, because I think there's a raw sense of, you know, connection to the story. It can happen. It can happen to anybody. We've been covering this for a while now, because these folks, I think they protested outside the bank first, then outside the RBI, yesterday outside the court, today outside the finance minister's press conference venue, which happens to be the Bombay BJP office. So they've been protesting for a while. Unfortunately, in our country, you know, after a point of time, let's say by next week or next month, even the media will begin to lose interest in the story. Then what happens? How do these people get access to their money? I think it's an important story. It's a story that connects with a lot of people. And it's a story that we're going to cover tonight on Rostax.
And for all you know, PMC Bank could just be the tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely.
Right? All right. We're hoping to cover this story quite extensively tonight on Rostax. We're also counting down to the big visit of Chinese President Xi Jinping. In less than 24 hours, he will be in Chennai and having an informal summit with Prime Minister Modi. People are asking, why is this summit taking place in Mahabalipuram of all the places? It turns out it's quite a 2,000-year-old connection with China.
Oh, absolutely. It's a small town. It's an old town. It's an ancient town. It was found by a Pallava king, Narasimha Varma I. This was the capital of the erstwhile Pallava dynasty. And it was the biggest port at that point of time. And there was a lot of trade that used to happen, certainly between the Coromandel coast, as it's known now, and Southeast Asia, and by extension to China as well. What's interesting is, and I didn't know this, Hyun Sang, who was one of the two most famous Chinese scholars who visited India, happened to have landed there in Mahabalipuram, and apparently he was conferred a special honor by the Pallava dynasty in much of the wars, apparently, that were fought. I think there are historical records of letters written by the Pallava kings to the Qing dynasty emperors in China. Saying that we have common enemies. The Mongols and the Tibetans are common enemies, so we'd like to join forces. And apparently there are historical records of the Chinese emperor having written back and so on. So there are these historic connections, and I think it's been carefully thought out. I'm given to understand that the venue of first choice was Varanasi, where the Prime Minister had taken Shinzo Abe.
Right.
I think Emmanuel Macron was also taken to Banaras. But I think there was some logistical issue there. Okay. And then Mahabalipuram happened to be the second sort of venue of choice. And turns out Xi Jinping liked it.
Well, yeah, their informal visits have been a lot about optics and clearly history as well, because the last time round that they met, that was the first informal summit. That was in Wuhan. which also had a historic significance.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the ancient saints who visited, I mean, this is the reverse, one of the ancient saints who visited China from India and then came back with Buddhism and with martial arts, he had a connection to Wuhan. So all of these, you know, historical contexts, and while it's great for television, right? I mean, tomorrow you're going to get pictures of both of them at the beach, the sunset, the sculptures, the caves, which is all great. I mean, as a TV journalist, I don't think we should be complaining about it because it makes for great TV. But I think once the visit is over, we need to sit down and figure out
the brass tacks.
Yeah, the brass tacks. Let's get down to brass tacks. What's been achieved? I think that question is not something that we're addressing, certainly not enough.
All right. We're hoping to cover this story and a lot more over 60 minutes tonight at 9:25 on Brass Tacks.
All right. Thanks for tuning in to the Brass Tacks podcast. The show is weeknights at 9:25, as Anna said. This is Zaka Jacob and Anasuya Kumar signing off.
No debate, no bias, just the news. Brass Tacks with Zaka Jacob.